B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock hour on a Friday. Final hour of the week on the Mike Missinelli Show. Brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Guided Door and Window's big winter sale has been extended through January. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. All you have to do is call this number and hook it up. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or online goguida.com. You know, it's snow season, ski season. Fanatic deal of the week. Get a little Fanatic deal of the week action here. For a limited time, you get one all-area lift ticket to Spring Mountain Adventures. Valid weekdays and weekends during the 2020 season for just $24. That's access to 8 trails, 6 lifts, and 2 terrain parks for 50% off. Check it now at 975fanatic.com. Keyword deal. Is that Chuna? She was scared?
No.
You're not?
I actually talked about this with Ann. I think it was last week we talked about it. I said, that's one thing I would love to be able to do. Because one of my buddies, he called in sick to work and just went snowboarding. Drove to the Poconos and snowboarded for like 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I would love to be able to just do that. But well, now I know I'd fall and break my leg. And
so you've never had a desire to do it?
No.
Really? Never wanted to try it?
No. Or am I going to go? I'm going to drive to the Poconos.
Yeah, you're a skier, right?
I have never skied in my life.
You haven't either?
No. Where am I going to ski? Burrhome Park?
No. Listen, you don't have to grow up around skiing to be intrigued by driving up to the Poconos and skiing.
Well, it's similar to my camping experiences. My family, we didn't like do outdoorsy stuff.
I didn't either. But when you get to be an adult, you want to try stuff you didn't do, right?
I mean, I've been tubing.
Yeah, same.
What is it? Is it the cold, the snow? You didn't enter?
Well, by the time...
I've skied, but it's not like I'm a big skier. I prefer water skiing more than I would snow skiing.
Right. No, I mean, I would like to try it at some point, but I just feel like, I don't know, I'd be embarrassed. I'm not the most coordinated. I'd be on the bunny slopes with, like, the five-year-olds.
Well,
what if
right.
I fall
that's
and
where,
I can't get up?
That's where you learn.
I know, but what if I'm just not very good?
You're like Ben Simmons.
I am. I am.
What the hell is that?
Ben Simmons' jumper is my skiing.
All right.
My friends are trying to convince me to go.
Yeah, see,
they want to go to Vermont or something.
You should. You don't have to be on slopes all day. You're part of the
you go to the lodge.
Yeah, you go to the lodge, you hang out, and you get your boots on, and you're clomping around with the boots, having a cocktail, and... And you go out, you get a little daring, and you go out again.
I know. I could just see things going awry for me.
Well, all right, Ben.
Wow.
Let's go to Matt Levittown. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Matt?
So, I'm wondering, yesterday on Anthony's show, he says that he would rather take Ben Simmons than Allen Iverson. Do you agree with that?
He said that he thinks Ben would be a better player than Allen Iverson if Ben goes to the ceiling of his game, which I agree with.
Yeah.
He can do many more things than Allen Iverson at his size and athleticism.
Right.
But there's a long way to get there.
What if you put Ben on the team Allen was on and Allen on the team Ben's on? Allen and them are going to win forever. You know what I mean?
You already know about the Allen Iverson accomplishment. He was a great player, but he was only 6'1". So I think Anthony's theory is you're talking about a 6'10 supreme athlete who can do anything he wants on the floor. Allen Iverson couldn't do that. Allen Iverson could do some things, but he couldn't. He wasn't a 6'10 guy who could dribble past people and just jam on anybody. You know what I'm saying?
He will always get a shot off or get to the line. That's all he could do, really.
That's right. That's all he could do. At 6'1".
If it's not an Allen Iverson like Derrick Rose, that they would win too, right? That's what we're looking for, a guy that will just get to the basket, get a shot, right?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
You got to look at the defensive end of it, too. Allen couldn't play your mother.
Yeah. He stopped somebody sometimes.
He didn't stop anybody. He just
dove. He got some steals like
He dove into a passing lane, but he couldn't play anybody.
Yeah.
He didn't play on ball defense.
Yeah, that didn't hurt him that much. You know what I mean? He was. and four other guys to play defense on that team, I guess. But
yeah, they didn't win.
If he was on this team,
they didn't win. By the way,
if you switch Ben for Allen, this team wins the championship, right?
No. Let's go to Don in Levittown. Don, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Don.
Mike, how many times did you see Donovan make a mistake and come off the field smiling?
Yeah, but see, people misunderstand.
That's the subtleness of it. No. That's the subtleness of it. That's what you're... I've been in bars where simultaneously people see it and it drives them crazy. And I think that ultimately, I know it sounds small and it is what it is, but I ultimately believe that is the fundamental reason why people...
Well, that's stupid, because that was misunderstood. Well,
but even if it's stupid, it's stupid, but it's reality. Their perception is that when Tom Brady doesn't do that, other good quarterbacks don't do that. When they make mistakes, they don't come off smiling, big grin.
A lot of them do, because a smile is a way to deflect the pressure and tension of the moment.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Don't deflect it. Take it in. Recognize you made a mistake, and then people will appreciate that.
Yeah,
that's
the thing that's foolish about the Philadelphia fan base. They would look at stupid stuff like that.
Okay,
I'll admit,
but that's not going to change. In my head, I think of three things. When people say McNabb's name, I think of that weird, like, quadruple juke that he did that was awesome.
Yeah, well, you're out of line.
You're out of line
in your judgment. Because you looked at stupid stuff.
But that's the perception. I'm never gonna think of McNabb and think Randall's my man.
You held it against him because he wasn't cool. That's what you held against McNabb.
It seemed like
your perception was wrong. It seemed like he was smiling because that was his way of deflecting the pressure of the moment. You see, guys yawn sometimes. That's to reduce the pressure of the moment. This is not that big of a deal. And people do subconscious things to deflect pressure. So if that's what you took out of it, that's foolish. Here's what I take out of McNabb. The biggest games, he was 1-4. Three times as a favorite in an NFC title game, they lost. The quarterback has a lot to do with that. In the context of T.O., it's really simple to me. T.O. was a crazy man. Everybody on the team knew it. So when he had a contract beef, when you go out of your way to praise one guy who has a contract beef in Westbrook and not the other guy, how do you think the crazy guy's going to feel about that? Normal? He's going to walk down the street whistling? You know? No, no! That's why a leader goes, all right, this dude's upset. I think we need both Westbrook and T.O. to make another run. Was that too much for him? Seriously? A leader does something like that knowing, I hate that SOB T.O., but I'm the smarter guy, so I'll just do this. T.O. will falsely think I like him and play hard for me because he makes me better and he makes the team better. Couldn't swallow his pride enough to do that? That's the thing I hold against McNabb. Anthony and Horsham, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
What's up, Ant?
I've been wanting to call him for a while. I haven't really had a chance. So it's I wanted to talk about Eli Manning getting elected to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to hear your opinion on it. I don't know if I'm biased, and I know you're probably the most unbiased guy I could go to. So I want to get your opinion. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, honestly.
Why?
Well, so everyone goes to his yards and the two Super Bowls, but I think the yards you have to discount because you look at all the guys. Like, you got Breeze, you got Phillip Rivers, Brady, you know, all these guys putting up these massive numbers because the league changed to allow more passing yards. So he's going to put up those numbers because it's a passing league now.
Okay, well, then you got to reduce Brady's numbers too while you're at it.
Reduce
Aaron Rodgers' numbers too while you're at it. That's not a good enough argument.
Oh, well, I would also say that he, over the last 7 years, he's only had one winning season. He never led the league in touchdowns. Led the league in interceptions three times.
Yeah.
I just don't see the whole thing.
Here's what you need to do. Find out, give me a list of the quarterbacks that have had 57,000 yards in two Super Bowls that are not in the Hall of Fame.
I guess if you're going to say it that way, yeah. But, I mean, there's guys like, who's the guy? Trent Dilfer. He's got a Super Bowl. I mean, and Marino doesn't.
Did Trent Dilfer throw for 57,000 yards? Come on,
bro. I think he was a little short of that.
A little short? Trent Dilfer probably threw for 15,000 yards. Eli Manning threw 366 touchdowns. 57,000 yards, 366 touchdowns, two Super Bowls. Give me a player that would not get in the Hall of Fame with those numbers. Come on, man.
I don't know.
You're an Eli hater because you're a Giant. I get it. I get it, but I hear about the record. It's a 500 record. It's not a glowing record, but that glowing record is overshadowed by two Super Bowls. 57,000 yards gets you into the Hall of Fame. It just does. Without the Super Bowls. Dan Fouts got into the Hall of Fame, didn't he?
Yeah, there's a couple of quarterbacks that have 500 or below records in the Hall of Fame. A couple of them.
Yeah. There's no player that threw for that many yards that's not in the Hall of Fame. Let's go Belial. Belial in Philly, South Philly. What's up, Belial?
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Mike, you know, I got to disagree with you on this Donovan thing, man, with that conversation you had with Bryant. I mean, it's just that, you know, I feel like it was on Joe Banner, like, to make that move, and it wasn't up to Donovan. And even though he spoke up for Bryant, I think he made a good point. You know, like, with you and Ty and that, y'all got a relationship. If somebody from somewhere else said something, you may not give them that glowing recommendation.
What's the hurt in it, Bilal?
Because you know what's the hurt in it? Listen, Big Ben didn't speak up for Antonio Brown. You see what happened? Maybe Donovan knew something that we didn't know. Like, we know T.O. went to Dallas. He had some good times and stuff. T.O.'s still crazy, though. Suppose he would have been there all that time in Philadelphia and wild out on him. We'd have been like, damn, why did he give him that contract? But we wouldn't have been able to get rid of him. You know, I mean, they was in-house. You know what I mean? And being in-house is a lot different. And I know you're around it. You're the man and everything.
But being in-house is a lot different.
You're
two-way to handle it, right? You want to leave it all up to Joe Banner? Then you don't go out and praise Westbrook either. But if you're going to praise one and say, hey, we need to get this guy in the contract and not praise the other, and the other's a nutbag, he's going to blow up your team. Part of being a leader is knowing when your team's going to get blown up.
Well, Mike, this is where I disagree with you on that, because I have friends and I have associates. My friends, I'm going to speak up for. My associates, I'm not going to speak. You can't say you're going to do the same for one person that you're going to do for another. It's just not that the world ain't like that. And I believe that that's where Donovan was at with this. Like, he's going to speak up for Westbrook. Yeah. He ain't speak up for him. And I want to ask you one thing real quick. Remember when T.O. was following Donovan around? Was that before or after the contract squabble?
What do you mean following around with the MTV and all that stuff?
No. When he was on the football field and he was trying to talk to Donovan and Donovan was ignoring him. Remember that game? When T.O. kept trying to talk to Donovan, and Donovan was going one way.
Here's what I know.
Was that before?
I don't remember, but here's what I know. Donovan McNabb threw for 3,875 yards and 31 touchdowns of T.O.
Now,
that made him a good team, didn't it?
I believe in that. I believe that Donovan was better because of T.O. You're right in all them aspects.
Well, then if you're a leader and you know what's better for your team, then just suck it up.
Well, then maybe he knew T.O. wasn't
this,
better.
What are you talking about? That's I just gave you the numbers.
No, listen, let me say something real quick before I do. That's something selfish of you to say, all right, I don't like Ty, but before the show, I'm a speak up for him. And then the show wound up being crap because you thought Ty was good for the show, but y'all didn't get along.
Blah, your point doesn't make any sense, all due respect. It really doesn't. You know two things. This is football, man. All right? This isn't like let's hold hands and walk around the block every day. We're playing football, and I go, if I'm the quarterback, I go, damn. I threw for 38-75, 31 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions. Must be a reason for that. Maybe it's all me. But I got to think, because I had number 81, made me a better player. Now, 81's crazy. And 81's in a contract beef now. So if I go out publicly and praise Westbrook and not the crazy man, I think I'm busting my team apart, right? Yeah, but I'll do it anyway. Now, come on. It doesn't make any sense.
I would say
just
no.
Suck it up. You don't like T.O.? Just say, hey, listen, man, we need both of these guys to make another run. Bye. And the press conference, and then you move on. And then you don't have anything to do with T.O. socially. Good, Jerome, West Philly. What's up, Jerome?
Eminem, what's going on,
what's
man?
What's going on, Jerome?
First of all, have a good weekend.
You too, bud.
Matt Booney, Drew, have a good weekend. Hey, look, I got four things real quick. First of all, what the heck was Brett Brown talking about with the, he had his legs under his waist. That
yeah. Was faint praise, man. He goes, well, he mentioned Shake Milton first. That a shoot,
yeah.
Shake Milton.
I was rolling.
Yeah, well, you know, what good thing. I'll shake, you know, shake this.
All right, shoot.
Shake this.
Embiid, you knew he was going to come back for that All Star game. There's no way he's missing that. I don't care if his finger's falling off. He's not missing that game.
Yeah.
And Ben, arrogant. He's not going to do it. We both know it. And I'm glad you gave up, because if nobody's seen it by now, they're never going to see it. So let's just get on with that.
All right, man. I got you.
And three real quick. Last one real quick. Big game tomorrow.
What's that? Oh, Lake Show?
Big game tomorrow. 8:30.
Lake Show. I'll be there.
Yes, sir. I can't wait. This is going to be good.
I think it's going to be an interesting line on that game. Lake Show might be favored by a point or two.
And I think it's going to be a close game.
It should be close.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, Trump. Looking at Dan Fouts' numbers. Now, seriously, if Dan Fouts is the standard, Dan Fouts is in the Hall of Fame. He won anything. Quarterback record, 86-84-1. 43,000 yards, 254 touchdowns, 242 interceptions. He's in the Hall of Fame. Eli Manning's not going to get in the Hall of Fame. It's impossible. Mike in South Philly on 97.5 Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, you know, you look at Don McNabb. He put up 21 points in his Super Bowl. Eli Manning's first Super Bowl, he put up 17 points. Are we giving Eli Manning credit for what his defense did for him? Because I'll tell you right now, if Donovan McNabb had Doug Peterson as his coach, McNabb would have won, I believe, at least 3 Super Bowls at minimum. Because remember, it's not just about clock management that Andy Reid hurt them throughout the years, but take, for example, the Philly special. That's something that's implemented before the game. We don't know how many play designs or things that a better coach could have made, which would have allowed McNabb to put up more points in the Super Bowl. Even the Falcons, you know, Matt Ryan put up 28 points in the Super Bowl, yet he lost. So how is Eli Manning anywhere near Hall of Fame discussed when his defense won both Super Bowls? And you look at his yards he's compiled, he's so durable, he's never missed a snap. Anyone's going to throw for that many yards if you play the amount of games that he played. So Eli Manning, and anyone talks about Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame discussion, I just think it completely delegitimizes.
And how come Dan Fouts is in?
Oh, he doesn't deserve to be in.
Oh, but he's in.
Don't name him.
You can't put toothpaste back in the tube. There's a standard out there now. So how are you going to justify not putting Eli in if Dan Fouts is in?
I think that's a problem that guys like Dan Fouts are in. But if you really look at
you got to look at the reality, bro. They're not going to keep Eli out. Now, maybe you don't think he deserves it, but he's got numbers that dwarf Dan Fouts, and Dan Fouts in the Hall of Fame.
I understand, but the fact is Eli Manning is in. For his career.
Yeah, by the way, let's get back to the McNabb thing. He was favorite in 3 NFC title games. So, in other words, his team was considered better than the team they played in the NFC title game. He lost all 3 of them.
And a big reason was Andy Reid choking.
Andy Reid choked.
Clock management,
And the quarterback had nothing to do with it.
I think he played well enough in a lot of his
worst 3 games. Now, again, he got hurt against Carolina. He had his worst 3 games in the biggest spots. He lost to Arizona. He had the ball at the 49-yard line of Arizona. First down.
That's play calling. A lot of that has to do with play calling.
Meanwhile, he threw a ball in the dirt and over a guy's head on that drive. It was play calling. Chuck and Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
Hey, Mike, Ben Simmons, what would you think about Brett Brown not having any discussion with him, just telling him, just taking him out 6 minutes left to go of the game, 6 minutes of the fourth quarter? Anyone that you put in is going to get more points.
No.
You don't like it?
No. Because he's going to generate. He might not score, but he's going to generate more points than anybody you have in there.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, you don't have anybody. You don't have anybody who's an adequate replacement who's going to sustain points.
He disappears. He just is the fourth quarter.
Who is going to listen? You got Ben Simmons. You're sitting him out for an extended period of time. Where are you getting points? Where?
Anybody they put in.
See, that's a stupid answer. Not anybody.
What are you getting from Ben?
Because there isn't anybody.
What are you getting from Ben in the last 6 minutes of the game?
Well, you're not answering my question, so if you don't want to answer my question.
No.
I'm answering your question with a question. Okay, Mr. Tough Guy, Mr. Macho, let's sit him down. Now, where's the replacement? You're going to get points.
Perkins.
Perkins already in the game. Who else?
Yeah.
You're taking Ben out. Who else?
Shake Milton. I don't know. Anybody.
You see, that's a stupid answer, anybody, because you know anybody is not the answer.
Well, I think after two games, Ben would get the message.
He would. All right. Ryan in Bucks County, you're on 97.5 FNAG. Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, you know, real quick, you know, I think it's absolutely ludicrous, you know, that we should be getting rid of, you know, Ben Simmons or, you know, Joel Embiid right now. I mean,
nobody's getting rid of him. Who's getting rid of him?
Yeah, I agree. I think the people calling in are just too quick to jump the gun. They don't want to let their guys develop. And, you know, if anything.
No, hold up. Now you went too far. They don't want to let their guys develop. It goes back to the topic we're talking about here. Impatience with our star players. I'm supposed to let this guy develop more. He won't take a shot. I got to wait for him to develop.
I think that, you know, it's more so on the coach as of right now. You have to have...
It's not on the coach! The guy won't shoot a bastard jump shot! The coach going to do? Move his arms?
No, you're right. He does need to shoot, but, I mean...
No, nobody's trading him. That doesn't absolve him of the responsibility. We are not being impatient with Ben Simmons. We should fully expect that he shoots a freaking ball.
No, you're right, Mikey Mitch. Real quick, too, I got a story for you based yesterday. You were talking about an Italian guy, you know, the Eagles story with the Italian guy you were talking about yesterday.
The waiter in Italy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I was in Italy back in 2016. I tried reaching out to you guys yesterday, but I just missed the cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in Florence, wanted a really nice Italian jacket. I walk in, I got a flannel and an Eagles shirt underneath. And this guy stops, he's talking to a couple, stops what he's doing, comes over, goes, "Are you from Philadelphia?" And I'm like, yeah, I'm from Philly. He sees my shirt, and he's like, "Oh, I love Philadelphia." And I'm thinking it's just, you know, he's just trying to, you know, make a good sale. You know, it's Philadelphia, whatever. And then my cousin owns a pizza shop at the terminal. Like, I gotta like, get your email and invite you out. And I'm thinking.
Was this guy an Italian native or an American?
He was a native.
Okay.
And he's talking about... And I'm thinking, oh, like, he probably just, you know, the Reading terminal in case tourists come by. And then... in the store. Blew my mind.
You faded out, so I didn't hear the punchline. What was it?
It sounded like it was going to be a great story.
Well, you're fading out. What's the punchline? Quick.
He gave me an EAGLES.
Oh, he gave me an EAGLES. Oh, okay. He gave me an EAGLES.
Who?
The Italian guy.
Oh.
So he was an Eagle fan.
Oh. He wasn't.
He was an Italian.
Right,
in Italy.
Okay.
They follow American football.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, just like my waiter.
A joke.
Oh.
A joke.
No, he was, "Hey, McNabb, but..." Hey, give me one of these. Hey, McNabb, a choker. Back after this, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Final Twitter poll numbers coming our way from Natalie Aganov. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Check out that Husqvarna Automower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Their showroom is in Doylestown, or you can see them online at paulbmoyer.com. Nat, Nat, Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,300 votes. Where are my trumpets? Thank you, Andrew.
Damn system.
Over 1,300 votes on today's poll. Is Philadelphia more impatient or frustrated when it comes to Ben Simmons? 33% say impatient. 67% say frustrated. So, ending with frustration.
There you go. By the way, Andrew, how many years did Shaq and Kobe play together?
Together?
Mm-hmm.
Must have been like 8 or 9.
They like each other?
No.
how'd they make out?
5 championships, 4 championships
put it,
together?
They put it aside.
Uh-huh.
For the sake of the?
Team.
That scene in Untouchables. Al Capone before he takes a bat to one of the guys at the table. Team.
That's all right.
That'll be. I'm working. Two people never saw the movie. Ed Wilmington, Ed, 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed,
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
Mike, I got to tell you, when T.O. came to the Eagles, I was ecstatic. I thought it was just a great move. And now I hear all this, and I'm not really surprised by it at all. With Donovan. But I thought he was the MVP of the 2004, was it, Super Bowl?
Hey, not catch with a broken leg.
Yeah, I really did. And I think he's right. I think Donovan is the wrong one here. And I also think that with all the baggage...
T.O. was nuts, all right? I don't want to absolve him of the craziness that he instilled in that team. But if you're the bigger man and you're the smarter man and you know he's nuts and the team's better off with him, then you, as a leader, you got to just, you know...
That's right. And Donovan was not capable of that. And I don't have any hate for Donovan either, but I just got to say T.O. is a great player. And, you know, and Randy Moss category. And I also think that Ben is a little bit like that too. We just have to be patient. And I know you've been taking a bunch of calls on that, but I don't want him on any other team, Mike. I think that he's still a great player even without taking a shot. I mean, Monday, his little hook shot, he had all kinds of things going on.
Yes.
I really don't think that we should just ditch on that.
We're not ditching on anything. We're just, but the question is, are we impatient with him, and is that right to be impatient with him? And of course it is. If a guy that doesn't take a shot in 3 years, then we're not, you know, that's not impatience.
What do you think about picking up that Derrick Rose?
Who?
Derrick Rose, is it?
Oh, Derrick Rose. Yeah, I would do that.
I would, too. Yeah. I think that he's hungry, and I think that he could...
Yeah, I'll give you a little speed. We'll give you a little spunk, a little energy in the offensive flow. I'm just reading his tweet. T.O. didn't really help the Eagles get to the bowl. All right. He was hurt. Yeah, he was hurt. He got hurt. He played 14 games. In 14 games, 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns, and 15.6 yards per reception. Nah, he didn't mean anything to him.
Well, it's like the Wentz thing. You don't... Foles isn't winning the Super Bowl if you don't have home field advantage.
He created that whole offensive energy. His presence on the field created their whole synergy.
And then he was the best player on the team in that Super Bowl. With a plate in his leg.
You know, Steve Roxborough, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
I just want to jump in real quick, and I do think LeBron James, you have to put in consideration how long he's done it, and like the expectations as a kid, he lived up to it. I don't know if there's any other athlete that really did it like that. Maybe Griffey.
You know, at age 35, he's still kind of at the top of his game, which means at age 36, 30, 37, he's probably going to be still there. So, you know, that I understand about the sports science, but man, there was training back then when Jordan played.
Oh, absolutely.
This guy's phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a freak. But I was jumping with the McNabb thing because I'm totally with you. I mean, that was like the greatest year as a receiver, as an Eagles fan I've ever seen. And he came back, and everybody knew Tua was crazy when he got here. So all McNabb had to say was, man, like, let's give him his money. That's all he had to say. And I think everything would have been all right then. Like, Tua would have, like, Tua lost his stuff when he had that press conferences. Like, McNabb said, hey, I think our offense will be great. Not necessarily, like, he didn't
outwardly say, we don't need T.O., but he implied it.
Absolutely, and, like, that's what I think, like, McNabb is the best player in, like, best quarterback in Eagles history, but he's probably maybe, like, the most, I don't want to say hated, but people, I just want him to shut up. Because, like, I think
he's never going to show up. But the sequence of it, It was like a really long fuse, and you lit it, and it had different stages. It's a fuse. He implied that we'd be just as good with that T.O. At the same time, he stumped for Westbrook and not T.O. And then there was the MTV clash. And then there was training camp, where he could have squelched the whole thing, but sent his brother to his room instead of calling and said, dude, let's take a walk. I mean, it was comical the way it played out. And you're doing this to a crazy man. A crazy man is not going to act sane. All right. Let's take one more call. Let's go to James in Philly. James, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. James.
Hey,
what's up, James?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Okay, fine. Pretty good. Hey, Mike, I like to ask you, what's going on with Brett Brown and Zaire Smith?
Zaire Smith?
Yes, why he's not being played? I mean, you know, when Brett Brown was flash, coach, 9-0, Brett Brown gave up on Markel Bridges, I believe, for Smith. And what Brett Brown said was he was going to be the next Stanley Cup coming to the guy that won the championship last year.
They were wrong. They were wrong about Zaire Smith.
Are you serious?
Well, he's got nothing. What does he do? He doesn't do it. Like there's nothing that you look at that adds to an NBA floor.
He said he's going to be the next coming to Kawhi Leonard.
But they were wrong.
Wow. So he's wrong about this player here. He's wrong about he didn't grab Markelle Fultz, but he should have gave Markelle Fultz a little bit of time to develop.
Listen, Mikal Bridges isn't lighting the world on fire, so I don't know if it's that drastic of a mistake, but Zaire Smith hasn't developed. And I said, when he gets on the floor, listen, I looked at Tyrone and I had this story. The kid looks like he's scared to death when he gets on the floor. He's got no definition to his game. There's nothing that you go, wow, he could do this well. There's nothing there.
What?
He's a G-leaguer.
But you don't know until you play him. I mean,
you don't just go up to the NBA. You got to earn your minutes in the NBA. He's playing in the G League. Don't you think they're looking at what he's doing in the G League? He's not doing anything in the G League. That's a league he should be dominating if he's any good.
So you mean to tell me that, okay, and that was one of Brett Brown picks, right? So you believe
they traded Mikal Bridges to get Zaire Smith? Yes, and there's not. They were wrong. Right? What can you say? Sometimes you're wrong.
They recalled him for tonight.
They recalled him for tonight?
For tomorrow.
Did they?
Against the Lakers, yeah.
Oh, well.
Because of the Richardson injury. So maybe Zaire can change the path.
All right, well, you know, he's supposedly a decent defensive player. He looks scared to death every time I look at him. You look at his expression, it's like, I can't play in this league.
You don't see him bodying up LeBron tomorrow?
No. Sound off's coming our way right here at 97.5 Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
Oh, 549, Mike Misnow Show, 97.5 Fanatic, and it's Sound Off time, 610-771-9705. That's how you get into the Sound Off line. Leave us a message. We review the messages, and we put a gold star on the ones we want to use. So that's gold star today, Andrew Salchunas.
Can't take hearing about what Ben Simmons does well anymore. We know. You can jump. He has great vision. He can get assists and rebounds. You can't win a game with rebounds. It's called basketball. You put the ball in the basketball. It's not assist ball. It's not rebound ball. It's not fancy pass ball. It's basketball.
Well, assist ball leads the baskets. Come on. You're Jason Kidd.
I can fix the Sixers. Dump Brown and bring on that Aaron McKee. Give it a hoot. He'll make Ben shoot.
The Temple Owls, they've been struggling that.
I know.
Pablo Aaron, I love him.
It's all right.
Hey, a big win over Wichita
year.
State.
It's a strug.
It's his first year.
They beat Wichita State, but then they lost. Then they lose the last one.
We don't worry about that one.
All right.
Please stop with the Devin Booker trades every single day. Listen to me. Why on earth did the Phoenix Suns give up a young kid that scores 27 points a game and their center that gets you 17 and 11 and trade him for a guy who has to sit every third game? Why on earth would the Phoenix Suns do that?
Well, Embiid is a better long-range center than DeAndre Ayton, probably, and he's already got a star quality. But you're right, they wouldn't. They wouldn't trade Booker in that deal.
I'm a little disconcerted about the fact that Philadelphia fans have been ignorantly calling radio stations, calling for the trade of Ben Simmons, calling for the trade of Joel Embiid, literally comparing them to ridiculous players of the past.
Like who? Cut it off. I was waiting for something else. Ridiculous players of the past, like... It was a void.
Maybe the Iverson conversation that was yesterday.
Ben Simmons not shooting a basketball doesn't even frustrate me anymore. I don't even expect it. If it happens, it happens. This is what frustrates me. A head coach who doesn't know how to incorporate his players into the game. Isn't that a head coach's job?
Incorporate what players into the game? They got any players right now? Ennis? Got to incorporate him? I'll tell you, yesterday, he's like Fred Sanford Ennis right now.
I finally figured out how Ben Simmons is finally going to shoot a jump shot. Remember when Talia Shire leaned over to Rocky and said, I want to tell you something? Win, Rocky, win. Kendall Jenner's going to whisper in Ben's ear, let me see that jumper, babe. Let me see that jumper, babe.
I'm not so sure that she's concerned about the jump shot.
I mean, she should
her
be.
Her boo.
She should be.
She should be.
Yeah, I mean, you should be supportive and encourage your significant other to progress.
So if you were in the Kendall seat and sitting down a little ding-ding.
I'd be like, babe, just shoot it.
You would say, babe, just shoot it?
Yeah, just babe, just shoot it. Just get it out there.
You would babe him?
You could do it.
You would babe him?
Yeah, honey.
Oh.
Honey, just shoot.
All right.
You got it.
Mikey, miss. I gotta agree with you, man. Hubie Brown, he gets on my nerves too with those mispronunciations. Gotta cut him a little bit of slack. Hubie's an old guy. I love him. He's one of the great basketball minds that we'll ever know. But he's been dead on his feet for about 20 years.
Yeah, no, I get you. But he's always mispronounced names. It is prime. He just, it's the world according to UB. You know? You got to get the right names. All right, close it down, bro.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What is it?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets on.
See you later. All right, we got an interesting little crossover show, it looks like, tonight. Devon Gibbons in from 6 to 10, Joe Torti in from 8 to 12, which means from the hours of 8 and 10, it's Devon and Torti. See what we do here?
How about that?
NBC Sports Philadelphia, stay tuned for the Daily Line, and then Wings Lacrosse. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.